This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, this is BFM 89.9. Thank you for staying with us. I'm Chuang with Shaz and Noel. Statements by the de facto law minister, Dato' Sri Wan Junaidi, who said that the government will go through with Undi 18 and automatic voter registration by the end of the year. Now, of course, a couple of years ago, the Election Commission projected 8 million new voters if automatic voter registration comes into place.
Yes, of that, 4.5 million voters will be aged 21 and above and about a million between 18 and 21. And this means that courting the youth vote will be key to any political force that wishes to take Putrajaya in GE15. As such, we're seeing PKR recently signing up several young activists like former student leader Adam Atlee into the party in a bid to bolster its younger supporters. And of course, the rise of Muda has also gained a lot of traction, especially since it's led by former youth and sports minister Syed Saddiq. However, Muda is still not registered as a political party yet.
That's right. They've had problems with their registration. So the question we're asking today is, how else can political parties of today appeal to younger voters? And what are the issues that matter to this demographic?
Well, to answer these and other questions, we now talk to Ibrahim Sofian, Ben Sofian, the program director of the Merdeka Centre. Ben, good morning as always. Now, of course, we've seen the Twitter poll on BFM saying that to younger voters, the economy and good jobs are important to them. This is a line to your particular research as well.
Yes, certainly. I mean, back earlier this year, around the first quarter of 2021, we conducted a poll of about 2,500 young people aged 18 to 25 years old. And this was one of the main findings of that survey, that younger people cared more about getting jobs, about the growing economy, about skills and also educational opportunities than a lot of other issues. And then this is closely followed by livelihood issues affecting their families. I think this also dovetails with what the government has found in terms of statistics arising out of this COVID pandemic. A lot of people who lost jobs during the peak of the economic difficulty period tended to be young people and women as well. So, you know, the findings in your little Twitter poll coincides with, I think, what the broader trends are showing us.
Yeah, so when we talk about jobs, is it about availability or is it the quality of jobs?
It's actually both. Availability is, I think, you know, paramount right now, because I think a lot of businesses, particularly those in the service sector, those that cater to young people with less experience, those jobs are harder to come by these days, you know, as the lockdowns were imposed in the early part and the middle part of this year. But I think now, as things gradually improve, I think those jobs are going to come back. But it's just that it will still take time before things recover. And that, I think, makes it very high on the young people's radar. And I think the other point I need to also raise is that for young people that are graduating from our universities, they too probably will have tough times trying to get higher quality jobs, partly because businesses are slowing down in terms of hiring, I think, until things are more certain with the economy and also politics.
Ben, you know, it's always said that we can't view the youth as a monolith. I mean, there are various issues and probably different segments of the youth will emphasize on different issues. Do you see a kind of divide between this, between urban areas and rural areas, for example?
Yes, there's, I think, many types of divides that we see bisecting or affecting our young people. Yes, you're right in mentioning urban and rural divide. The divide there, I think, is very clear. But yet they do share similar desires and expectations. I mean, jobs and economic empowerment is something that both youth in the urban area and rural areas are concerned about. But we also see regional differences and also differences across gender. I think gender plays an important role, partly because we find that in terms of people who lost jobs during the pandemic, among young people, women were more likely to lose jobs and have a higher difficulty in getting back at them compared to men. And women who do not have college education tend to be more disadvantaged.
So the aspiration is quite established on this front, Ben. Then how does it, where does it happen in terms of leadership of this policy? Is it more in terms of, you know, identity politics of the past where they hope to individuals like Syed Saddiq to lead the charge, or are they more, you know, the youth more, more aligned with the parties themselves?
Well, at this point in time, the survey that we've done, you know, earlier in the year, like I mentioned earlier, suggests that identity politics is certainly there, but the majority of young people, particularly those in the younger groups, the 18, 19, maybe perhaps even 20 years old, they have not really fully formed their political opinions or choices. So we find that amongst young people overall, the 18 to 25 group, about 55% have not really decided, you know, on any political party or leadership, you know, that's one point. Number two, for the remainder, yes, party does matter. Party affiliation or identification is still important. And so along with that, we find that the typical lines of voting along ethnic interests, I think, still pervades within that large minority. But for the larger group, more than 55%, for this group, I think these people remain to be persuaded. So politicians and political parties that can come up with more interesting ideas and topics of interest, I think will have some chance of persuading them to their side.
So from a practical standpoint, Ben, how do established parties and coalitions coalesce around these, you know, the state of flux that's happening in the among the younger voters?
I think in this day and age, you know, with the pandemic still around us and the need to continue to maintain, you know, safety measures still remaining very strong, the traditional methods of campaigning, going house to house, trying to organize large events, I think that's still not possible. And therefore, that's not the way to get information across. So it's still going to be social media. But at the same time, they need to propel their young leaders, and these young leaders need to articulate the issues that young people care about and have to do so with some persuasion. And so it is important for political leadership to actually have some track record of authenticity. You know, we know that politicians are all, occasionally they have to make up things, but the people with the longest track record of trying to do something about solving problems, I think, stand a better chance. Because as young people research more about them on the internet and social media, then if these things keep reinforcing, then those, I think, individuals will have better chances.
Ben, comparing MUDA, UMNO and PKR, which political party is broadly popular with the youth?
At this point in time, it's still hard to say because, like I said earlier, you know, a majority of them haven't really made up their minds. What we do notice is that among young people, about 70% of them say they distrust politicians and politics in general. But we also notice that among young people, there is still a very strong tendency, a strong inclination to continue to participate in the democratic process. So, you know, on one hand, they are a bit turned off by politicians because they think that a lot of politicians make statements and announcements and promises that they can't keep. Yet at the same time, they feel compelled to fulfill their duties. So when it comes to different political parties, they appeal to different segments of the population. And this is where regionalism, I think, plays very strongly. So for young people that are living in semi-urban rural areas, the parties like UMNO and even PAS, you know, certainly has some traction because they have long-standing presence in those parts of the country. Parties in urban areas like PKR and to some extent DAP also have high visibility amongst young people. And MUDA, I think, is a new entrant to the market. They need to invest more in terms of publicity and making people know what they're about. What we notice is that it's getting to be a crowded field politically. And so for parties, they need to invest more in terms of publicity. But in terms of which party is most popular, it depends on the context. So we see that certain parties have strongholds in parts of the country, and they remain so.
Just very quickly, Ben, who plays the biggest role in influencing the youth? Is it their parents or is it their peers in, you know, shaping their political choices?
Yeah, at this point in time, it's actually family and parents. You know, for those people that say they've decided or they've identified themselves with a political party, they tend to be influenced by family members and notably parents. So that's why when I said earlier that there is still a continuation of the ethnic voting pattern among a large minority of young people, they tend to follow the ethnic voting patterns, like Malay families tend to vote for the Malay parties and so on and so forth. But for the rest of them that haven't decided, we think that it's open season in a sense that for political parties that are strong in trying to reach out to young people, then I think peers as well as the media in general can influence those that haven't made up their minds. and then it gets reinforced by family members and friends.
Okay, well, Ben, thanks always for your time and thoughts. That was Ben Sufian, Program Director at the Medical Centre. Very, very interesting point of view. 55% of the people he spoke to is basically are still undecided. That's, if you take it's just a straw poll, that's about 4 million voters that are, you know, ripe for pickings in terms of just, you know, new messaging from the parties.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I think just focusing on the key issues, right, the bread and butter issues, jobs, good quality jobs.
I was struck by the fact that he did say that there's a lot of regional factors involved. So like jobs is like the broad overarching issue. But at the same time, there are different factors depending on location, you know, so we can't see youth as a monolith in that sense when we have this discussion. I liked what he said about youth wanting to look at politicians with a track record of authenticity. I think that's very true.
Yeah, I wonder even how do you measure that?
Sometimes politicians make up stuff.
That's right.
Occasionally, make up stuff. Yeah.
I think now with the internet, it's a lot harder to run away from that fact. You know, you've got the evidence there and the youth are definitely savvy enough to be able to find that once it's on the World Wide Web.
Stay tuned. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.